Please welcome Russell Swanigan.
Thanks so much. To get to where I need to get in this story, I have to tell you about what I'm not going to tell you, mostly, is that I'm not going to tell you most of this story. And the part that I'm not going to tell you about is when I was 19 and mid-70s, I was a student at Cal Poly. I'd just taken a chemistry test, and it was over, and I didn't have class until next Monday. And it was summertime, and I was lonely. I was missing my girlfriend who had taken a summer job up in Fallen Leaf Lake at the lodge there, but I'm not going to tell you that part. And the other part I'm not going to tell you is how poor I was. I had a car, but I didn't have any gas money. So what I decided to do was go home and pack my backpack, because everybody in the 70s had a backpack, because everybody's on the road. And I parked my truck at California Boulevard over here and put my thumb out, and off I went. But I'm not going to tell you about that part. I'm also not going to tell you about the people in the Volvo that picked me up from UC Santa Cruz, graduate students, talking to me about how marvelous their committed yet unmarried relationship was, and the problem with the population, and that they were only going to have one kid. And I said, that's good. Keep it that way. And dropped me in Paso Robles. But I'm not going to tell you about that. Also, I'm not going to tell you about the guy in the 1963 Falcon that picked me up that seemed to have a whole bunch of people inside his head that he was carrying on these conversations with. And 2 hours going to Highway 99, he never said a word to me. And all the time I was thinking that he's going to reach under his seat and pull out an axe and hack me to death and push me out of the car. But I'm not going to tell you about that. He put me on this place on the highway. You ever see those places on the highway where, you know, there's nothing and then there's this person hitchhiking? I know how they get there now. They escaped from this. I'm not going to tell you that story. I'm also not going to tell you about the El Camino that pulled up with the executive guy who worked for the company that made all the boxes that you put vegetables in. He had the first mobile phone I ever saw, and he used it to call his wife and tell him he was going to be home late for dinner. And then he hung up and he told me that he said men aren't meant to be monogamous. But I'm not going to tell you about that. And I'm not going to tell you about being in Modesto and watching this big rig trucker pull off the off ramp, cross the street onto the on ramp. Thought that was weird. And he stopped, and the passenger door opened, and this beautiful young woman jumps out, and I get in, and then the trucker begins to tell me in this post-coital euphoria about the tryst that he just had in the back of his uncle's Freightliner. Well, he's hauling tomatoes to Galt, but I'm not going to tell you about that. I'm also not going to tell you about the neo-Nazis that picked me up in that mushy kind of Pontiac station wagon, and the whole time they told me, look out for the man. Well, they were rolling joints in the front seat, and they took me to Placerville, so I'm not going to tell you about that either. I'm also not going to tell you about the guy, the African-American fellow who's going to Tahoe because he was married to a Caucasian woman who was having an affair with the pit boss there at Harris, and he was going to settle up with her. I'm not going to tell you about that. I'm also not going to tell you about when I got to Fallen Leaf Lodge, surprised my girlfriend. She surprised me by saying she's had an affair with a meat cutter from Omaha. But we won't talk about that. And in my anger and frustration and loss, I hiked to the wash and back at Fallen Leaf Lake and went up and pooped myself out on that Angora Road, the ridge road that goes up. And here comes this pickup truck with Angora Resort on the side. And I go, oh, that's got to be Jim Hildinger. So I get in the car. He picks me up. And I say, you're Jim Hildinger? He goes, yes. And I said, you and my mother were good friends when you were in high school. And he gets this really worried look on his face. He said, who's your mother? I tell him. And he says, how old are you? And I tell him. And then he says, oh, well, come up and have some lemonade. But I'm not going to tell you about that story. I'm also not going to tell you about when I was done and you went back to the Y and this Rambler American. Remember those cars? Rambled up and this guy passed out in the back and the guy was driving. He gets out and says, do you have a license? I said, yes. He threw me the keys. He said, you drive. He got in the car. He took a couple of pills from the glove box and then he passed out too. I got in the car and started driving over Highway 50 back to Sacramento. That's where they wanted to go. Every now and then, the guy in the back said, don't tell my wife. I said, all right, no problem. Does this car have brakes? It didn't have any brakes. I had to downshift and use the handbrake all over Highway 50. Have you been over that road? And then I finally got to Sacramento and I found out that everybody and their brother was trying to leave Sacramento because there were 45 people on the on-ramp hitchhiking, you know. That's the way it was in the 70s. Everybody was on the road. And I said, I'm never going to get out of here. I got to get back to school. And I was all depressed and stuck in Sacramento. So I decided to go to the Greyhound bus station. But I'm not going to tell you about this. I'm not going to tell you about putting $8.85 on the counter because that's all the money I had, and said, how far on South 101 will this get me? They said, Gilroy. But I'm not going to tell you about that. I am going to tell you about when I ended up in Gilroy, though, and it was midnight. And the funny thing I found out, when they drop you off in Gilroy in the Greyhound bus, and you stand there all expectantly waiting for your luggage, it doesn't come because they left it in San Jose. My pack, my jacket, my ID, my money, everything I had was in my pack, which was in San Jose. They said, we'll bring it in the morning. Okay. And so I walked through Gilroy at midnight through all the bars and everything and went to the South Leavesley Road on-ramp after midnight and put my thumb out. And lowriders and cowboys kept going by honking and yelling at me, telling me what a fool I was. Yes, I'd say I feel pretty foolish. And then I saw this figure across the highway and walking across the overpass. And I said, oh, God, that's all I need. I'm not in the mood for any company. I'm not in the mood for anything. And this figure came across, and I said, please don't turn, please don't turn, please don't turn. And of course, the figure turned down the on-ramp. I said, crap. It's hard enough for one guy after midnight in Gilroy to get a ride south, but two, there's no way. I said, I'm stuck. The figure came closer, and this figure, the light from the streetlight hit this person who turned out to be a young woman with curly blonde hair and granny glasses, wired rimmed, and she had a backpack on, and she comes up to me, and the first thing out of her mouth says, you look cold. Yeah, I'm pretty cold. And she reaches into her backpack, she pulls out a jacket, and she gives it to me, and I put it on. And I feel warm and comforted by the backpack, and there we are on the off-ramp after midnight, close to 1 o'clock, and lowriders and cowboys keep going by, but we start to talk and start to feel pretty good, and figure we're not going to get a ride, what the heck. And she turned out to be a person that was my age. I was about 19 years old, and she was a student at Long Beach State, and I was a student at Cal Poly, and we got along pretty good. And then she said, well, you know, after about 2 o'clock, everybody had gone home from the bar, so there was no use in getting a ride. So we went to that, you know, that little grassy thing between the freeway and the on-ramp and the overpass, that place. There was a little tree there. And after all this that I'd been through that I didn't tell you about, she gave me shelter from the storm that night. It was a marvelous night, a gift after all of this, all that stuff I didn't tell you about. And spent a very comforting night and enjoyed together a sunrise there in that little grassy part, you know, the little triangle that the freeway and the on-ramp and the overpass makes with a little tree there. It was marvelous. And the next morning, we got up and sat on the curb, and she played her recorder all of these little songs, Simon and Garfunkel songs, and we hummed along as all the people going to church would pass us by. And then she had to pee. So she went to the gas station, and she was gone for a while. She came back, but not on foot. She came back in a car, in a Mustang, with a fellow there. She tells me was going over to Highway 5, going over Hollister to Highway 5, and then going south to Long Beach, exactly where she wanted to go. But she talked to the guy, and she said, you know, you can take me, but you got to take this guy on the on-ramp down to where the freeway turns into a highway so he can hitchhike right on the road. It's not legal to hitchhike on the freeway, and we were very law-abiding citizens at the time. And he did. And I got out of the car, and she gave me, she reached into her little cloth bag, and she pulls out a business card, and she gives it to me. It's got her name on it, with a Long Beach address and a phone number. And she says, kisses me, gives me a kiss, and says, here's my card. And I'm out of time, so I'm not going to tell you the rest of the story, but there's the story. Most of it I didn't tell you, but parts of it I did. Thank you very much.